and thankful for each and every one of you. We ask if you would to turn in your Bibles to the 17th chapter of the book of St. Luke. St. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. St. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. I'll read through verse number 19. St. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 19. If you're prepared for me to read, would you say amen?
Amen.
On the way to Jerusalem, he, that is Jesus, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praised God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of the Lord. Our text is taken from St. Luke, of course, as we've just read, which is the third gospel, the third of the synoptic gospels in the New Testament. Luke is the New Testament historian, as we consider not only the gospel that bears his name, but also he is the author of the book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit, or the Acts of the Apostles through the Holy Spirit. Luke's style of writing and his content is marked by him depicting Jesus as being a personable Savior and a friend of sinners. And so we have in Luke 17, we have another incident in the ministry of Jesus where he could meet those who are in need of a Savior. And our first verse, chapter 11, says in the first 5 words, some context, that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. This is important because it tells us a couple of things. It tells us that there was more than one agenda in Jesus traveling to Jerusalem. Jesus went a different route than the main thoroughfares or highways to Jerusalem. He knew that he had an appointment with these 10 persons by Jesus being God, omniscient, all-knowing. And on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus encounters these 10 lepers. Sometimes I remember as a child that we would take a road trip, and my mother or my father would say, "And while we're on the way, we're going to stop. Mom, Dad, can we stop at White Castle?" And if you're not from the north, you don't know anything about that. That White Castle was not the point of final destination, but on the way, we would stop at White Castle. In this account during Jesus' ministry, while he was on his way to Jerusalem, where he would conduct his principal business and traveling roads in less congested areas, Jesus came to a place where 10 leprous people have been quarantined outside of the city limits. The law demanded that they be separated from the rest of the community. I don't have to ask you if you're familiar with that, since we've just exited the horrendous COVID outbreak. Having been banished there, these persons were isolated and separated from their families and friends if they had employment from their jobs. Their income was stopped. We're not certain how long they have been in what was essentially their captivity when Jesus met them. Our text doesn't tell us that. These persons who had unfortunately contracted this disease, they were anticipating Jesus' arrival in hopes that what they had heard about Jesus' ministry to others would happen to them. That's why it's important for us to tell others our testimony. That your and my testimony can be something that prompts or borns or births faith in them. That they too would believe what Jesus did for you or me, he can do for them. Now these persons, it was a mixed crowd. They were not all Jewish persons. One of the ten was a Samaritan. As a matter of fact, he was not very well liked and certainly not accepted in Jewish society. They were an interracial community of lepers. They were differing ethnically or racially, but they were all having the same problem in common. They were all lepers. If we extrapolate this disease of leprosy as it sometimes is depicted, particularly in the New Testament, we would extrapolate it to the point of realizing that as it represents sin, it tells us something important, that sin is non-discriminating. Everyone born into this world, we believe as Orthodox Protestants, that we were all born with the same problem, and that is this problem of sin in our lives. We were born that way. Just as this man was born a Samaritan or others were born Jewish, he was born a Samaritan. This is a story about a human need and not a need particular to a single or particular race or group of people. This is a human need or human problem. He was met by 10 lepers. Wouldn't it be a much better world with considerably less problems if more people would meet Jesus? These people were expecting Jesus, looking for him, and when he was within eye distance, in view, they called out to him. What a better world we would have if more people would recognize that Jesus is the answer, the solution to their problem, and would call on Jesus rather than a multitude of other vices that people have, hoping that it will give them hope or relief from their problems. As I mentioned, John Dumelo tells us that the research that Jesus had not taken the most common route to Jerusalem. He was traveling along the border of Samaria and Galilee when he came upon these 10 people. He was not met by one leper. The Bible doesn't say there were two or three, but 10. 10 lepers. And immediately, as you are a believer and you read that passage, something leaps from the page to tell us that there is no limit to the power that Jesus has. 10 people, all with the same extreme problem and all needing the same solution by the same power. Met by 10 lepers. And this disease, unfortunately, was not a rare occurrence, but was quite pervasive, non-discriminating also, as to whom it might attack. 10 people at one time, all needing the help of the Savior at the same time. You know, if you have Wi-Fi service in your house, which I'm sure you do, you know that to have too many people on that same Wi-Fi channel diminishes its power. You can call up Spectrum or whoever it is and tell them, I'm having a problem with slow Wi-Fi. Well, how many things do you have connected in your house? And then when you tell them you've got 30 different things connected to the same Wi-Fi, they say, well, that's the problem. These 10 people, all at the same time, all at once, all needing the help of the Savior at the same time. Now, notice that Jesus was conspicuous. He wasn't hiding. He didn't ask the disciples to gather around me. I don't want anyone to see me. Let's just swiftly walk past these 10 people. Jesus was conspicuous. He wanted to be seen. He wanted to be called on. He was where he could be easily seen. And Isaiah tells us this. These lepers were actually obeying the words of the prophet Isaiah. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he's near. And that's exactly what they did. I'm sure there's been a time in your life. Maybe that time's now, I don't know. A time when you felt isolated like these 10. In a time of trouble or turmoil, and perhaps even felt confused about how you ended up in this condition that you're in. Before Jesus arrived, I can imagine that these 10 people must have thought about their future. It wasn't bright. In those days, leprosy only got worse. It became worse. It became extreme after a period of time. And not only was there pain, but there's loss of limbs, extremities, toes, fingers. They knew their condition was helpless. But they saw Jesus and asked Jesus for help. That's what I can recommend to you and everyone else. Asking Jesus for the help that you need. It's important to know that in our context, every time the Holy Scripture is read in your hearing or sung, or every time the gospel is proclaimed, we should know that although Jesus is not physically here, Jesus is passing by through the power of his word. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. St. John chapter 1. The Bible says also that these 10 people stood at a distance. Well, they, perhaps if they were allowed, they would have rushed to Jesus. Probably so. If it was permitted. But the law said they must stay at a distance. They believed it to be contagious. You cannot touch other people who are not lepers themselves. Jesus is not touching them. Jesus is obeying the law. He's keeping his distance. Reminds me when I think of this, how Jesus separated himself from leprosy, which we perceive to be, to illustrate the problem of sin in all of us. It tells us that light, which Jesus represents, has no fellowship with darkness. As these persons were separated, even isolated from Jesus, the question that begs to be asked is, what separates us or prohibits a person from Jesus? And of course it is our sin. Verse 13 says they lifted up their voices. You notice they're using, that Luke uses the plural here. It wasn't one person and another person or nine other people are just mulling around and not paying attention. But all 10 of them realize this is my opportunity to be healed. They lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, they knew him. have mercy on us. Remarkably, all 10 lepers unanimously confessed their defiled condition. They knew Jesus could help them. And with one voice, these persons who were equally infected with the same disease, with one voice, they equally pled for Jesus' help. Are you too proud to ask for Jesus' help? Oh, my friend, that's the time to be the most encouraged. That Jesus cares enough about me that he would come by where I am? There's no reason to be shameful. Were these 10 men or women, we don't know the gender makeup of this group either. Were they in the same social circles before they became leprous and they were isolated? We don't know that. Did they share the same political views? We don't know that either. Did they like the same foods and the same music? Did they worship the same God? We know nothing of that. None of these things we know, but we do know they recognized and pled for the help of the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate neutralizer. You can be saved, whether you be independent, whether you be Republican, Democratic, whatever you are, whatever stripe of politics you grasp a hold of. Jesus is the great neutralizer. These people needed help, and Jesus made himself available. And Jesus is just as available to you or me as he is to anyone else. We should never shy away from inviting someone to hear the gospel and enjoy the fellowship of God's people because of what they look like or what they wear or where they work or their title or the lack of a title. Jesus has come and made himself available for everyone. Their theology, the lepers' theology was right because they asked Jesus for what they did not deserve. They asked for mercy. It's the same thing that all of us have experienced, and we didn't deserve it either. All of us, before we came to Christ, could be labeled people behaving badly. And it's because of the sin problem in our hearts. They were helpless to help themselves, but depending on the kindness of God for help through Christ. These lepers did not beg for alms, but they begged for mercy. Verse 14 says that when he saw them, Jesus saw them long before he ever arrived there. It could be better said when he looked at them. He said to them something kind of strange. Go show yourselves to the priest. Now, this is a lesson in prayer. The Lord may not respond to you the way you think he will respond or should respond. They're asking the Lord for healing. And Jesus simply says, go show yourself to the priest. Are you prepared for Jesus' response when you pray? It may not be the answer that you want. The answer may not come the way you want it. It may require some more work on your part. Go show yourselves to the priest. Why would he say that? Number one, he was testing their faith. Because of what he said after that in the same sentence. The third clause says this, and as they went along, obedience was necessary. To serve the Lord, obedience is required. As they went along, they were cleansed. Now, as long as they stood there, nothing happened. I thought about this and I wondered, these men are, and women, perhaps, they're standing there and they see their condition. How leprosy is manifested in their bodies. They see themselves in their condition. And Jesus is saying, go show yourself to the priest. Now, the priest is the only one who is allowed or has the authority to release them back to general population. He's the only one who can say, you are clean and you can go back home. Jesus was obeying the law strictly, which he should have, and of course he did. But I'm thinking about these people and putting myself in their shoes, me being the 11th leper. Why would I go show myself to the priest when I can see I still have these legions on my body, my skin? When my hands are still disformed or disfigured because of leprosy? When I can barely walk because of this condition, why would I go show myself to the priest when I know I won't pass inspection? My physical won't turn out good. I'll just be sent back to the same camp. Do you see the power of the word of Christ that gives us faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of the Lord. Now, I just spoke to you about how I would respond, and that's just logically. That's not faith speaking. That's fear speaking. Now, these men with faith obey the Lord, and with their crippled condition, with their deformed extremities, with the legions on their bodies, they went anyway. I have to ask you, how much faith do you have? How much faith do you have? Are you willing to trust Jesus even when it doesn't seem like it's going to work out? As hard as life can be, are you still willing to trust Jesus? Jesus didn't pronounce them clean. Only thing Jesus said to them was, go show yourself to the priest. Are you one to argue with the Lord, or are you one to be obedient to Christ? They did not say, Lord, that's not what we asked you. We know we have to show ourselves to the priest at some point. We want you to heal us right now. It's not what they said. Jesus didn't pronounce them clean, but he only commanded them to walk and show themselves to the priest. They knew they were still lepers, but with a miraculous infusion of faith because of the word of the Lord, the 10 obeyed the instructions Jesus gave them and began to walk. When will you start walking? That's what Jesus is waiting on. You're waiting on Jesus to do all the work. I'm waiting on him to do all the work. When will we start to walk? When will the Lord Jesus be able to do a miracle in our lives? Still lepers, but began walking. Taking the first steps of deliverance is the most difficult part of the journey. Can I repeat that? Taking the first steps towards deliverance is the most difficult part of our journey. When all evidence says the lepers were not clean, they were told to walk anyway. And isn't this the essence of faith?
Faith is believing we have apprehended or received something God promises before we have a receipt saying paid in full. Now here's faith's reward. As they went, have you made up your mind to start walking yet? As they went, they were cleansed. It doesn't make any difference how difficult the task is, how impossible it may look, how difficult you anticipate it to be. My question to you this morning is, are you willing to start walking? As they went along, they were cleansed. I'm sure the first question in some of their minds was this: why was I so worried when we were in that camp and Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priest? We often worry about things that haven't even happened yet. There's an old saying that says, worry when it's time to worry. We see things way down the road and begin worrying, trying to figure out way ahead of time things that, for the most part, never even come to pass. They were cleansed. They were cleansed. All 10 of them. Then one of them, when he saw he was healed, he turned back. He praised God with a loud voice. Are you too proud to praise the Lord? You know, in some churches, it's illegal to raise your hands. I'm exaggerating a little bit. They don't want you to raise your voice. I wouldn't fit in there very well, would I? Are you too ashamed to say thank you, Jesus? Or to say hallelujah? Because the Lord is working on your behalf? One of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He fell with his face to the ground at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. Not merely one or two of them were healed. You know, someone walked through there and, okay, you're okay. No, you still got it. How about you? Yeah, you look okay. You're over here. What about you next two? No, you still got it. No. All 10 were healed. Sometime while they were on their journey. It's just like the story of the water turned to wine. When Jesus had told them to fill up those water pots with water and then dip the cup in the barrel and taste it. And somewhere in between dip and taste, Jesus had turned water into wine. Somewhere in between the time they led with their left foot and their right, somewhere in between time that they walked past a sycamore tree or an olive tree, Jesus healed all 10 of them. Often our healing, listen to me carefully, often our healing is gradual. It's not always instantaneous. Jesus could have healed them when he first met them, before they did any walking. But in this case, he healed them on their way. Are you trusting Jesus as you walk this Christian journey? Are you trusting Jesus that as you walk, you're walking with each step by faith? Although 10 were healed, the sad part of this story is only one of them turned back and gave the Lord thanks for what he had done. When he saw he was healed, When this man saw his leprosy gone and that he had been mightily healed by the power of Christ, he couldn't take his healing for granted. When his miracle sank in and when he realized the kindness of the Lord and that he was the recipient of the generosity of Christ's mercy, which he had asked for, he couldn't be silent. When he thought that his pain was gone and realized that his suffering was now a thing of the past, his emotional and physical isolation was over. He could not remain silent or stay where he was. He had to say something. He had to go to Jesus. He had to find him. Without shame, he raised his voice as he bowed his head and bent his knee and told the Lord, "Thank you." Then Jesus said, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to turn back and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Only one of the 10 lepers returned to give the Lord thanks. Is the reason we so often don't praise the Lord because we have forgotten where the Lord has brought us from? What Jesus has brought us through? When no one else could help us, but Jesus did? When no one else would help us because of our condition, but Jesus was willing to help us? He is a mighty counselor when I'm stressed out, the Prince of Peace when the waves of trouble are billowing and when the winds of adversity are blowing. Jesus is the epitome of love and he is the embodiment of mercy. This former leper must have asked someone who is listening, "Who is this that turned my midnight into day?" I know that he knew his name, but he had never experienced his power. Who is this that can turn my midnights into day? Who is this that can change my mourning into dancing? Who is this that lifts my burdens and carries my sorrows? Who is this when my doctors couldn't help me? Jesus did. Because of what he's done, I'm using my newfound freedom to walk back and give Jesus the praise that is due his glorious name. I need to ask you this morning, when's the last time you walked back? When is the last time you walked back and told the Lord, "Thank you"? This is a trip I can imagine the leper said that a few hours ago I could not have made. But now I've been set free by the man called Jesus. I'm no longer in leprous bondage, but I'm free. To anyone who have looked at this healed man, and someone may have said, "Oh, he'll be back, just wait." The once sick man's healing had been confirmed by a priest. And the leprosy is gone. Oh, some of your friends probably said the same thing about you when you said that you were a Christian. No, you won't be back. No, you didn't go back. Your leprosy was gone. No trace of leprosy's dominion. He had been set free. So if the Son sets you free, John says in John 8, you are really free. Take a minute and walk backwards, would you? When is the last time you walked backwards from whence you came to tell the Lord, "Thank you"? Tell that blind man around the corner, Jesus is here and Jesus can help you see. I would imagine this leper told some lame person that Jesus is here and you can walk if you believe. Tell every diseased person, any deaf or dying person, Jesus is here and can help. Say to the person with relationship problems, like the woman at the well, you can truly love and be loved. Jesus is here. What's God saying through Christ? Here's what he's saying. Your future is in my hands. That's the sermon in a sentence. Our future is in the Lord's hands. There's nothing that God cannot do. There's nothing God doesn't know about. I say go back and thank him because he's worthy of every praise. Jesus deserves every hallelujah. Whatever God does doesn't belong to you or me. But like this leper, give it back to God in the form of praise. Go back and give it back because every blessing comes from God. Every praise belongs to God. I would imagine if a reporter walked up to this man post-leprosy and asked this question, are you satisfied with Jesus? What do you think he would say? I'm satisfied. The stench of my leprosy or sin's gone. The power of death has been freed and grace has been loosened. I'm satisfied. Can you say you're satisfied with Jesus? He was as graceful and humble worshiper of the Lord Jesus. Whereas the other former lepers were less inclined to be thankful and took God's blessings for granted. I close by asking you this. What kind of Christian are you? Are we conscious of the Lord's goodness to us and appreciative of God's mercy? Are we humbled by the Lord's generous blessings and overjoyed at the change in our lives? Why were these nine lepers simply completely oblivious to the praise that belonged to the Lord? Why should someone have to prod us or push us or the Holy Spirit beg us to praise God? Why should anyone have to pump or prime these cleansed lepers, these nine, a basic sense of appreciation since their lives had been completely changed? How ungrateful to the Lord and disrespectful to the Savior it was that only one of the ten would say these words, "Thank you, Jesus." After all, the Lord had equally blessed them all with a measure of faith when they obeyed Jesus and walked to show themselves to the priest. But they did not all have the same level of gratitude. Are you a thankful leper? And if so, our lives should reflect it. Are you the one who went back? Walk backwards and thank the Lord? Or are you one of the nine who takes the Lord's profound blessings for granted? When I meditate upon the fact that Jesus caused the spiritual scales to fall from my eyes, I must say, thank you, Jesus. When we realize it was Jesus the Lord who gave me faith, the faith that I did not have to believe in him, I must say thank you, Lord. I was born a sinner and not a worshiper of the true and living God like the Samaritan leper. But through the Lord's word, faith was born in my heart. And when we think of that, we must say thank you, Lord. A grateful heart says thank you, Jesus. A clear conscience says thank you, Lord. When we think back over our lives and trace the hand of God's providence upon us, why can't we say thank you? When I look back through the rear view mirror of time and recall the Lord was present with me even in my tough times and when I was in rough places, I must say, thank you. Let's pray. Dear God, we're thankful for your power. Your word is life. And for that, we are profoundly thankful.
thank you for what you've done for us. What we have experienced is akin to what these lepers have experienced. There was a time when we pled for saving mercy and saving grace, and Lord, you gave that to us. And for that, we are profoundly humbled and thankful. I pray that every soul under the sound of my voice, whether here or listening or watching online, would equally be thankful as we are humbled at the thought of your mercy. And for this we give you glory, honor, and praise, for we pray it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.